When you fish the Elite Series, there's no question that you're fishing against the best in the world. And with me today is Tim Horton. And Tim, at Lake Champlain, you fished against the best in the world and bested them by almost 14 pounds. And that's really unheard of this day and age.
Yeah, I tell you, Terry, I had a couple of really neat spots up there located, and that helps when you're competing against guys of this caliber to have a couple of those magical holes. And I actually had a tournament where I had two of those, so it was really neat.
Well, you know, you look back at it, and there's two things I think about, you know, as a guy that fishes on the weekends and gets a chance to go out once in a while. Number one, you had these great fishing spots. You went out there, you caught the fish, you know, just blew the field away. But then you left early because you had to make a long run to get back. Man, wouldn't you just like to sit there and whack on them for the rest of the day?
You know, Terry, that was the only part that was wanting me to stay. But, you know, the thing about it, if you break down at Lake Champlain or something happens, between Ticonderoga and up at Plattsburgh, there's really nothing. And it's about a two-hour commute for someone to get a boat to you. And then if they do find you, you know, you're still a couple of hours getting back in. So I really didn't want to risk that. And I just felt like that was, you know, the only chance of me losing was staying to the end, and I didn't want to risk that.
Yeah, I know. You know, the fisherman in me says you want to go out there and just whack on them, but all of us that know tournament fishing really applauded what you did and getting back to the location where you were at, Tim, you know, and knowing that you had this thing in hand, that had to be pretty comforting to you.
It was. It was when I finally reached the docks and, the tournament director checked me in, it was really a relief. And, I didn't plan on them from them to make such a big to-do out of it, you know, it was nice. It was nice to get that coverage during the day on the internet and all of that, but I to be a situation where I felt like I was showing up my competitors. That's something I never intended to do, and I don't think any of them took it that way, so hopefully I'm pretty sure they all understood.
Yeah, well, there's no question. I think all of us that fish know that wasn't the case, and those that know you in particular know that's the case. You know, and really, you think about it, you had to take a risk. You know, you think, man, I got a good bag of fish in the boat. If I stay down here, I may not make it back, and that would be the only way you wouldn't have won the tournament.
Yeah, that's true. You know, there had not been a 6-pounder weighed in all week, with the exception of that one Todd caught the last day. But I tell you what, Terry, that was it was nice to win a tournament. It's great for your sponsors to have that, you know, to happen and all of that. But to be able to catch fish like that was some of the most fun I've had in a really long time.
Well, talk about the baits, if you would. If you could give me the bait selection and what you were doing and how you were doing it, not necessarily spot, but tell me a little bit about how it laid out and what you were doing.
Well, you know, I found that place in practice. I went down to Ticonderoga on the first day of practice, and I really wasn't feeling good about it. The fish weren't set up like they were the year before. The water was a little bit higher. The grass was a little bit thicker the year before, and they were really in those mats, really strong. And when I got down there and that wasn't happening, it was, something was telling me that those fish were offshore. Well, I got out and I looked a little bit and I didn't find any. And then late the first day of practice, I got out and I actually found that location. And it really keyed me in that I knew I had to commit down there once I found that area.
Well, you talk about electronics and how critical they've played. This year in particular, I've heard electronics was the key.
Yeah, you know, I was idling around and really using those Lowrance electronics. And I found that little place where the bottom rose up somewhat, and I knew there had to be a hard bottom there because it was a real silty bay that I was fishing in, as a lot of Ticonderoga is down there. And but when I found that group, like I said, I really knew I had to commit down there.
Man, I tell you, you know, you look back over your career, Tim, and I know you're an offshore guy and are one of those guys that really can catch them when they're offshore like that. But, you know, have you had situations that were like this before where you caught this kind of fish off of an area before?
Well, you know, my first win on the Potomac River, I think I won that tournament by 16 or 17 pounds. And Lake Soho was actually the same scenario where I had a couple of places to myself. But I, just to be honest with you, it really, you know, when I do win, it as it's been documented, it's by a pretty large margin. But I've had situations where it really cost me. You know, I spend a lot of time looking for areas like that. In other words, if they're in the grass like they are at Ticonderoga, then I'll go looking elsewhere, something out a little deeper. And sometimes I spend too much time trying to find those magical areas, and it ends up hurting me that I don't find enough in practice to do well in the event. But, boy, when I do find them, it's a lot of fun, and it usually leads to a win.
Well, you are Mr. Consistent. Over the years that I've known you, I mean, you started out the first year angler of the year and, you know, had a phenomenal year then, and then, of course, have been consistent throughout your career. But, again, a classic berth is just right around the corner for you, and I think now you're ranked like 24 in the world rankings. That will continue to go up as, you know, as these things roll off. But it's got to be fun to be consistent year in, year out.
Yeah, it is. You know, that started off the year the lowest I've ever been ranked in the Bass Fan World Rankings, and I really wanted to move back up, and I think I've started out the year in something like 60th place. And being up in the 20s is somewhere I'm a little bit more comfortable with, that's for sure. And I hope to get up to, I know when the rankings first come out, I don't think I was below the top 10 the first couple of years. I really want to get back to that. That means a lot to me.
Well, you know, you look at it too, Tim. I mean, overall, people know about your prowess with the deep water stuff, but they may not know that you're also an excellent flipper and pitcher, and you're also one of those guys that can find fish. And I think a key to being a true professional now is the ability to go out there and find them. When you do, you put them in a boat.
Well, you know, I can remember even as a kid, you know, going back to what you're saying there is, you know, when I would get my issue of Bassmaster magazine in or watching a fishing show, I really wanted to learn everything. Every technique there was, and that fascinated me, you know, to being able to go out and catch my first fish on a deep diving crankbait or flipping bushes or whatever it was, and I really wanted to learn all that as good as I possibly could, and I think you have to be that way now. These guys are so good, it's incredible how, you know, I look at my generation, which is almost a second generation now. We've got so many new guys with Remus and Casey Ashley and all of these guys coming in, but I can remember my rookie class was, you know, Iaconelli and Aaron Martins and Todd Faircloth and Dustin Wilkes and David Walker. It was really a strong class that we had coming in, and I almost look at us as getting to be the older group of the young guys, I guess, so to speak. But you have to be able to do it all against these group of fishermen.
Well, speaking about doing it all, you're doing it all on a lot of fronts. I know you're heading right now. I'm catching you as you head down to a grand opening for Bass Pro Shops down in Montgomery. But you're involved in the PAA. You're involved with the anglers. You're involved with kids. You've got all those things going on. How do you juggle your time?
Well, you know, I think we have a responsibility in what we do as professionals to be involved in things like that. We've got our ninth annual Fishing for Kids tournament here coming up in September. At the end of the month, and we have a lot of fun with that. We carry underprivileged and mentally and physically challenged children out fishing, most of them for the first time, and being a board member of the PAA is something I take a lot of pride in. You know, my fellow anglers elected me to that position, and we actually have a big board meeting coming up this Sunday to discuss things. So a lot of exciting things happening, and honored to be a part of all of those different things. And you know, Terry, looking back, what I think I enjoy and still enjoy as much as anything is I hang out with my heroes. I mean, that can't be overstated enough for me. I mean, I still am a big fan of this sport. And I know that sounds crazy, even though I'm right in the middle of it and right in the heat of the competition. I'm following this Angler of the Year race just as close as anybody. And it looks like Skeet's running away with it here, but I really enjoy hanging out with all the anglers.
You know, it's neat because it really is neat. I mean, we get to cover this each and every day, and you know, there is a pedestal. I mean, to be honest with you, you know, a lot of the anglers that are like Tim Horton or, you know, Kevin Van Dam or Skeet Reese or all those guys, they are on a pedestal because of their accomplishment. But I think more so for me, it's the idea that what you do for the sport. You know, you're always positive. You're always a guy out there that is trying to make this sport better, and you know, we applaud you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. It takes it takes a lot of hard work sometimes, but it's something I enjoy. It's something that I don't have to make myself do. I'm passionate about seeing the sport grow and become better. I was telling somebody the other day, I those Waters Works Wonders ads that the GoFishing.org.
Right.
To me, that is the epitome of that is our sport. You know, seeing kids and their parents and things like that, I just think we're so fortunate to participate in something that you can do on a high competitive level that we do, and also you can go talk to people that's what they get out of it just as much of an enjoyment. So the complete realm of it, there's no other sport like it in all of sports.
Yeah, you don't see that in any other sport, and I tell you, there's nothing better than seeing that smile on the face of a young man or young woman who've never caught a fish before, and they catch that first fish, and I tell you, it just brings a smile to all of us that are involved.
Oh, it's the best. It absolutely is.
Well, Tim, I appreciate the time. You know, we've tried to get you right after the Lake Champlain event, and of course you guys were world hopping, going back and forth to every event, and I try to give you a little bit of room there, and appreciate you spending time with us talking about Lake Champlain.
Oh, Terry, you're the best, buddy. Another great interview, and I'm honored to be on it.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.